You know, it's a real honor, privilege to stand here Wednesday night and share the word with you. As I've shared with most of you, you know, Brother Barry is definitely one of the five most influential men of my lifetime. Shared a few stories Wednesday night. Also a few similarities. I just want to give you a couple of those similarities. Barry and I were born 9 days apart. Started there. And then Brenda was sitting right here, so if I keep looking there, it's because that's where Brenda was sitting Wednesday night. But also found out that Brother Barry was saved about 7 weeks later than I was. And Barry and Brenda were married about 4 months after Kim and I were married. And as it turned out, Kim and Brenda actually knew each other quite well before either Barry or I met our spouses of 27 years. So just amazing the similarities, if you will. And you know, I didn't even think about it. You know, Brenda let me drive Barry's truck here. And I think some of you, when you pulled in, it was like, you know, it was in the wrong spot. Okay. You know, did the rapture happen, right? So it's just, like I say, it's an honor. Barry has taught me so much in life. I just, I loved him dearly in the Lord. Matter of fact, it was Barry that actually, I could never tell a man, say to a man, you know, I love you. I just could never do that. And it was Barry that taught me that that was okay, you know. And I do love Barry in the Lord. And I guess, what is it, 64, 65 days now, and it's still just tough to imagine. But it's allowed me to come back to the great state of Alabama and to be here with you, and let's study the Word together. And thank you for writing this up here, Nikki, but we put a statement up here, and could I ask you to pass these out to everybody? If you already have one, if you could maybe not take one if you still have it. But there's a statement that we're going to read. It's up here on the board. Kind of a few foundations for our both the morning hour as well as the second service. And this is a gentleman named Miles Coverdale. Miles Coverdale is about 1565, the year 1565, when he actually wrote an English translation of the Bible. And it is said that when they were writing the authorized King James Version of 1611, that they did use some of Miles Coverdale. But anyway, here's the statement that he made. And this is one of our themes, if you will, for today. And he said, "It shall greatly help ye to understand the Scriptures if thou mark not only what is spoken or written, but of whom and to whom, with what words, at what time, where, to what intent, with what circumstances, considering what goeth before and what followeth after." Okay, so again, we can summarize that in one word, context. Okay, and I'm going to write that word up here, context. And if you allow me, I'm going to put a little bigger T in the middle there. But the word context. Let me give you an example of why context is important. Forgive me if you were here Wednesday night, you may hear a few similar stories, all right? Context. You know, somebody asked, you know, Brother Jerry, we were talking on the phone. He said, "Steve, by the way, what time do you get up in the morning?" I said, "Well, I usually get up about 5 o'clock in the morning." He said, "Great." He said, "How about your wife, Kim? What time does she get up in the morning?" I said, "Well, she gets up about 6 o'clock in the morning." "Oh, so you beat your wife up every morning?" "Yes, I beat her up every morning." Now, depending on where you came into that conversation, that could have a whole different meaning, couldn't it? Context. It's very important when you hear something to take the whole context. You can't take something out of the context, because if you take the text out of context, you're left with nothing but a, and how true that is with the Scriptures. It puts it all, this book comes alive when you put things in context. And so many times, I mean, maybe you've never been to one of these, but I've been to a service or two where somebody gets up and they grab one verse, they read that verse, and on for the next 40 minutes, and it's feel good. I used to live in Houston. We had a guy in Houston that he actually bought where the Houston Rockets used to play basketball. Holds about 18,000 people, and they fill that church with 18,000 people. And he's very popular across the country. Writes a lot of feel good books. Unfortunately, I've never heard him preach the gospel where somebody could become saved by what they heard. They'll feel good when they walk out of there. And he might actually start with the verse. But this book just comes alive. And some people may even say, well, wait a minute. Some people, they may say, wait a minute. There's contradictions in that Bible. No. If you take it out of context, yes. But if you let the whole Bible keep it in context. You see, the whole Bible is for us, but only certain parts of this Bible are to us. Thank you. Think about it this way. Just a couple weeks ago, I heard our president say, and I always find it interesting that when he's referring to the Quran, it's the Holy Quran, from his words now. And the Bible kind of takes some pop shots, like he did about 2 weeks ago when he said, no, yeah, you know, he's trying to talk about how we are a nation of different cultures, different religions. And he said, you know, and I'll take the Bible, for instance. Should we really, you know, which part of the Bible? This was his words, and as much as best as I can remember it. Which parts of this Bible should we take? Leviticus? With all those laws back there where he says if your children don't obey you, take them out and stone them? You know, he was trying to cast doubt. How dare he cast doubt on this Bible? But you know what? If you fail to do something like we call here rightly dividing, I hope he caused some people to think, because you know what? The Bible does say that, doesn't it? It was for a different dispensation. As you know, I know I'm preaching to the choir in here. It was not to us. That is not how we are to live today by that law. Would it help us to? I don't know about that far, but I mean, yes, it sure helps. Children, obey your parents. That sure helps. Okay, but the point is, it's not the law for how we are. And at the end of the day, why do we rightly divide? You know, we talk about rightly dividing and which books are for us, which books are to us, and we're going to do some of that today. Pardon me. But at the end of the day, it's for one reason only. It's a thing called salvation. It's a thing called eternity. Where are you going to spend eternity? How many of you like to see Brother Barry again? Okay. Yes, we all would. And we all look forward to that. And I'm sure there's many other people as well. Okay. Pardon me. Point is this, it's salvation. How is one saved? How does one get to spend eternity with the church that is the body of Christ? 1 Corinthians 15. Actually, turn there. 1 Corinthians 15. You know, one theme. Thank you so much. One theme also. Why do you believe what you believe? You need to know why you believe it. Not just because you sat in a service somewhere and you heard somebody say it. First Corinthians 15. I guess I should turn there too if I try to quote it. Okay. Moreover, let me start right in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Verses 3 and 4, here is that gospel of Christ, the gospel of salvation. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel of our salvation. It's that simple. Okay, why do we rightly divide? Because you won't find that gospel in other dispensations. Now I'm starting to get into some heresy, right? In the world of religion, if you will. But that's why you rightly divide. All right, now I also wanted to start this morning. I've always said if you're going to listen to somebody teach the Word of God, you should. One of the first things is you should hear their testimony of salvation. A, are they saved or not? And B, how'd you get saved? And it was great having dinner with Kayla and her family and Alan. And Thursday night, Kayla made some chili. And I did not realize until Thursday night that Kayla is the granddaughter of Brother Russell. And I say that, and, you know, I'm talking about my testimony and talking about Kayla. I got saved at Plantersville, at Pineview Bible Camp in Plantersville, Alabama, just west of Selma, July 5th, 1983. The reason I got saved there is because that's where I got lost. You got to get lost before you can get saved. Okay, that is the night. Matter of fact, all three preachers that night preached a very similar message, and we call it Lost Believers. Really, when did you get lost? It, you know, we always say to people, hey, when did you get saved? When did you get saved? When did you get... The better question might be, when did you get lost? Because you got to get lost before you can get saved. What do you mean by that? You see, to get saved, that's the gospel of our salvation, as Paul just said. But when is the moment in time that you got lost? When is the moment in time when you realized there never had been a moment in time when I was lost? When I realized I hadn't put my faith that when Christ died on that cross and shed His blood, He was paying the price for Steve Gottberg's sins. That's the night I realized there never had been a time when I trusted in that work, if you will, and that work alone for my salvation. And that's the night, July 5th, 1983, that I put my faith in that either when Christ shed His blood, He was also paying the penalty for my sins, and that because of that, I would spend eternity with the Lord and the church, which is the body of Christ, including Brother Barry Hampton and everybody else that's part of that church that is the body of Christ. That's the night I put my faith in that work for my salvation. And either Christ paid the penalty for me, or I'm just going to go to hell because that's what I deserve anyway. And one of us worth the gunpowder it take to blow us into hell, is there? So, that's my testimony. I want you to hear that because, again, if you're ever going to have somebody stand there and teach the Word of God to you, you should definitely hear their testimony first. Okay, another principle, if you will, and I know I'm preaching to the choir here tonight, but 2 Timothy 2:15. Again, I'm going to turn there because I'm going to try to quote some things. I just might, and as we talked about Wednesday night, it's the things closest to the truth that are changes that we should fear, not things that are way out. Okay, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I'm going to read 16 with this, by the way. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more, what's the word? Ungodliness. Wow, that's interesting for that verse to come right after verse 15. So rightly divide the word of truth. Okay, now let's talk about something for a minute. You know, we have a mailbox at our house, and I bet you some of you have a mailbox. You know, and it's interesting, the postman, post lady in our case, delivers everything that's addressed to Steve Gottberg into that mailbox. And everything that's addressed to, my wife is Kim, Kim Gottberg goes in that same mailbox. Two of my daughters are home right now, Sophie Gottberg goes in that mailbox as well. And Rachel Gottberg, they put her letters as well into that same mailbox. Four people in one mailbox. Well, you know, if there's a $1,000 check in there to Sophie, and Rachel sees that envelope, and the first thing we do, by the way, when that mail comes in, we bring the whole mail in, We put it down on the counter and we divide it into piles. See, that whole group of letters is for our family, for sure. But some of the letters that are to Steve go in this pile. The letters that are to Kim go in this pile. The ones that are to Sophie go in here. To Rachel go here. Now, if Rachel, my youngest, says, hey, looks like that check to Sophie, or that letter over there to Sophie has a check in it, I think I'm going to take that. I could sure use a $1,000 check. She could open up that envelope, couldn't she? And it says, congratulations, Sophie, you won $1,000 for whatever, you know, and here's this check, $1,000, made out to Sophie Gottberg. Rachel can take that check to the bank. Are they going to cash it for her? I don't think so. Because why? It's made out to somebody else. It was somebody else's mail. Okay, I'm trying to make an analogy. I hope that comes through. This book is for, every part of this book is for us. But only certain parts of this, about 83 to 88 pages, are to us. The books of Romans to Philemon. The books that were written by the Apostle Paul, who says 20-some times, I am the Apostle to the Gentiles. Okay, so you can get in trouble if you start reading other people's mail. And you can start getting wrong messages if you start reading other people's mail. Yes, it was all for us, but only parts of it are to us. Why is it for us? To know how the Lord dealt with, how God Almighty dealt with different people in different time frames. That's why we rightly divide. To know how does the Lord deal with those of us that remain today in 2010. Okay, it's Romans to Philemon. The books written by Paul. And if you try to go to other books to get your doctrine, that's where you get in trouble. Okay? How come we don't speak in tongues in here? I mean, I can show you in the Bible where people spoke in tongues. And it was a good thing when they did that. Okay? We know that tongues ceased. Paul tells us, okay, in Corinthians, that where there are speaking of tongues, they shall cease. And they did cease about 2,000 years ago. But you see, there are some people that have gone in and grabbed a letter, if you will, the letter of Corinthians, because there's parts of it there that say, hey, if you do speak in tongues, here's the right way to do it. Okay, but then at the end he says, but they're ceased, they're gone. Okay, and they went in there and they went into some other places back in, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where people were speaking in tongues in Acts, and grabbed those. And they want to say, hey, those letters are to us, you know, and this is how we should worship today. No, that was for a different dispensation. That's why we must rightly divide the word of truth. Now, if I just start back here with Adam, okay, and make a timeline here, and let's just say this is the birth of Christ. We know this is about a 33-year time period. He was crucified, rose again, then the book of Acts comes in, by the way, so we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then we have a time period, and because of heaven, thank you for writing this here, by the way. At some point in the future, we know the church, which is the body of Christ, shall be raptured out of here. And that's when we get to see Brother Barry again. And all the Brother Russell and the other saints that we all look forward to seeing. And then we know there's a 7-year period called the tribulation and the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Okay, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's amazing how back here, you know, Genesis through Malachi, you usually don't have a problem with most people in religious America today, if you say Old Testament, New Testament, right? Most people would agree, okay, yeah, the Old Testament, that was for those people back there before Christ, and then New Testament is Christ forward. Most people will make two distinctive groups. The problem is there's a whole lot. There's a few more dispensations than just Old Testament, New Testament, right? And that's where we start getting into some challenges. Let's go take a look back here. For instance, people say, well, you know, I've got a red letter version because I want to follow what Christ said. Makes sense, doesn't it? If you don't rightly divide, if you don't understand 2 Timothy 2:15, that would make a whole lot of sense. Why would I not want to follow the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ while he was here on earth? Yeah, I know I'm getting into heresy. Hang with me, all right? Let's go take a look. Do you really believe that? Let's go to the book of Matthew and look at three passages there. Matthew chapter 10. And I do believe this would be red letters. And actually, I'm going to start in verse 1 because I want to make sure we keep the context of what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying and doing here, or doing and saying here. Okay, Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, okay, keeping the context, as Miles Coverdale said here, you know, of whom and to whom is he speaking? Okay, so he called unto him his 12 disciples. He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. And he goes on to name the 12. By the way, you will not see the apostle Paul in there, will you? Verse 4, Simon the Canaanite and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Verse 5, these 12. Okay, so he just named the 12. And if you want to go back and check that, you know, please do after. But so verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth. By the way, if I say the word stop, please stop reading and kind of look up, okay? So these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, stop. So this is going to be the first thing that he commands the 12 apostles. Do you think maybe it's something that might be sort of important? It's the first thing after the Bible here names, the first time the Bible names the 12 apostles. And Christ is talking to them on earth. The Lord Jesus Christ on earth is talking to them. And he commands them saying, so what, let's go read it, but this is the first thing that he's going to command them. I would think it's probably an important thing. Verse 5, the first thing he tells them, go not, stop. Wow, so the first thing, it must be pretty important, because the first thing he's going to tell them is what not to do. Not what to do, what not to do. Okay, let's go read that. What is so important? First thing, the Lord Jesus Christ says to these 12, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Boy, I've got a problem. I happen to be a Gentile. Wow. Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. Let's keep reading. I'm sure this will get cleared up in a minute. Verse 6. But go rather. Ah, here we go. Now I'll be okay now. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I am not a lost sheep in the house of Israel. Any of you? We all have a problem. Verse 7. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Wow. I'd say that's... Well, maybe he didn't really mean that. Let's try another passage here. I'm sure if we use the concept of Scripture proving Scripture, something's going to clear this up for us. Let's move to Matthew 15. Okay, so he said, go not to the way of the Gentiles, go rather to the house, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Scripture proves Scripture, so let's... Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed unto the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast. Okay, time out right there, stop. A woman of Canaan. She a Gentile, absolutely. Okay, she is a Gentile, not a Jew. That will be key here. Okay, verse 22, and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Stop. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. Is she a believer? Does she believe who the Lord Jesus Christ is there on earth? I'd say so. She's a believer. Does she have a problem? Major league. My daughter's grievously vexed with the devil. Certainly the Lord's going to help her, right? Let's read on here. Verse 23, I can't wait to hear how this goes. But he, the Lord Jesus Christ, answered her not a word. Stop. I think I misread something, so let's read that again. But he, the Lord Jesus Christ, answered her not a word. Stop. A believer came to him. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Please help me, Lord. I added that, okay? And he answered her not a word. He ignored her. He must not just have heard her. Let's get the whole story here, get the context. Let's read on. And his disciples came. Oh, good. They're going to clear this up. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away is what my Bible says, too. Send her away, for she crieth after us. Yes, she cried after us. Her daughter's grievously vexed with the devil. She knows you're the Lord Jesus Christ. She wants help. You, the Lord Jesus, you, Lord, ignored her. The 12 said, send her away. Wait a minute. We better read on. Let's read verse 23 again. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered, here we go. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Stop. Does that agree with what we read back in Matthew chapter 10? The first thing that he commanded those 12 disciples, right? 12 apostles, excuse me. And sure enough, he practices what he preaches, doesn't he? Right here. Now, time out. We're talking about a believer that came to him with a pretty serious problem, looking for help. Do you understand? If you fail to rightly divide this word, there's some challenges here. How do you explain these? By the way, we're going to read one more passage in the book of Matthew just to make sure that we're really following this properly. So let's go back now. Verse 25. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to... Stop. Did the Lord Jesus Christ just call this believing woman a dog? That's what it says. Let the words say what they say, because you know what they mean, what they say in this King James Bible. And if you think this is heresy, hang on, okay? Let this word do the talking, do the teaching. Use Scripture to prove Scripture. Wow! Now, I'd have a real problem if I was taking my doctrine out of the book of Matthew. You see, the book of Matthew is one of these books that is not to us. Yes, it's for us to know how the Lord Jesus Christ, how God Almighty, through the Lord Jesus Christ, dealt with mankind, if you will, on earth during the 33 years, actually during the 3 years that Christ was preaching, to be more specific, the majority of it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all deal with that time period. Let's keep reading here. I'm sure this has a happy ending. Verse 27, and she said, she, the Canaanite woman, truth, Lord, yet, just read the word, Stephen. Truth, and she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Stop. Did she realize her position? Okay, she was a Gentile, second-class person, if you will, in that time period. The Jews were God's chosen people. The key is were. Okay, and at this time period, it applies. Were at this time period in this book, in the book of Matthew, Okay, so she put herself in that second class position, if you will. Verse 28, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now that's quite a story. But do you see why it's important to rightly divide? Do you see that you can't find yourself? We, as Gentiles in this group studying the Word today, cannot find ourselves in this book of Matthew. Okay, let's try one more. I want to follow the teachings of Christ, as the world would say. It makes sense until you start studying the Bible. Let's go to Matthew chapter 19. Okay, we were in Matthew 10. We were in Matthew 15. Let's go to Matthew 19. Matthew 19 and verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, stop for a minute, the him is Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ on earth, okay? And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Stop. Okay, you understand, one came to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, what do I need to do to have eternal life? I mean, how much more simpler does the question get? How much more clear? How much more important? Why do we rightly divide? So we know the right answer to that question right there. At the end of the day, that's all that matters. Either you have eternal life or you don't. Okay, you can learn all kinds of fancy things in here and we can study it, but at the end of the day, that's all that matters. What do I need to do to have eternal life? Either you have it or you don't. Either you're saved or you're not. It is that simple. Where it maybe gets a little complicated is if you try to go to the wrong part of the Bible. If you try to open the wrong set of letters in the full mailbox, if you will, that has all the letters so that we know how the Lord dealt with men, with people in all time frames. In all dispensations, including the future, by the way. And it's amazing the way it's all lined out chronologically that way in this Bible. See, after the book of Philemon, when we get into Hebrews through Revelation, that just happens to deal with all of these books out here. How the Lord will deal with them. So, let's come back to our question here now, because I want to have eternal life. And for crying out loud, these are red letters. This, I think, will it not make sense that I should do what the Lord Jesus Christ says to do to have eternal life? Remember, it's being said right here, okay, just before he dies on the cross. So here's what he said unto, and this is verse 17. And he, the Lord Jesus Christ, said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, stop. Okay, he's about to say, here's what you do. Okay, let's listen closely. Let's read that phrase again. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. I thought we said we were saved by 1 Corinthians 15, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, Romans 10, 9 and 10. He said, he, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, said, keep the commandments. How many people can keep the commandments? If you offend in one part, you're guilty of all. Thank you, Larry. James 2:10. It's great to have, I'm pointing over here to Larry. He's a great straight person to have. He helped me out a lot Wednesday night as well. But, I'm sorry? Take a man, exactly. You understand, that's how the Lord Jesus Christ answered that question. He said, keep the law. Well, if you fail to rightly divide, if you do not understand rightly dividing, if you know, most of religious America want to follow the teachings of Christ. But do they really read the teachings of Christ? We just read in Matthew 10, Matthew 15, Matthew 19, go only to Jews. Do not go to Gentiles. We saw an example in Matthew 15 of a believer, a woman who believed who Christ was, had a serious problem. Christ wouldn't help her. The 12 disciples said, don't go under her. You'll turn away from her. She crieth after us. She's a Gentile. She's a dog. The Lord Jesus Christ used that word, dog. Why don't more people question this? Zane, I don't know. I missed the first hour of Zane preaching last week. As a matter of fact, I met Zane the day that Brother Barry passed away. You know, we're both from Colorado now. Right? You know, I live in Colorado. I'm not from Colorado. I live there now. But Brother Jerry was flying in to Denver to do a conference at Brother Zane's. And while Brother Jerry was in the air flying into Denver, and I was so looking forward to see him, is when I got the call from Wayne. I'm looking over here where Wayne sat Wednesday night. But what was the point of all that? Sorry, I lost my train of thought. Rick, what on the time? How much time do you have there? 6 minutes. Okay, very good. Okay, so you understand, if you're going to say that you're going to follow the teachings of Christ, well then, you know what? If that's what you believe, what gives you the right to decide which parts of what he said you're going to take and which parts you don't? Either follow the whole thing or nothing. I mean, doesn't that make sense? Okay, and when we that rightly divide the word of truth, we take these books of Romans to Philemon. Okay, and we put these in parentheses. Why do we do that? Because it was a mystery hidden in scriptures that God would come to the Gentiles through the Apostle Paul, that the Lord Jesus Christ would die even for dogs, if you will. Okay, hidden in scriptures, the mysteries that were hidden in scriptures. Romans 16, verse 25. Okay, Ephesians chapter 3, different mysteries. Okay, one other principle, by the way. If you go to Acts 17, one other principle to carry over into today from Wednesday night. This is very key. So whenever you're going to study under someone, you should hear their testimony. The other thing you should do whenever you study under someone is what these people will do here in Acts 17. And you'll see why in a moment. Start in verse 10. Acts 17:10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. That's why so many of our churches we call the Berean Bible Church or the Grace Bible Church. Unto Berea, who, coming thither, went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. In that, here's why, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and hear, and searched the scriptures. How often? Daily. Whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed. So the first thing, when they heard something preached, they searched in the scriptures daily. Is that really true? I just shared with you Matthew 10, 15, 19. Is that really true? Go back and search the scriptures daily. Be noble like these Bereans were. Brother Jerry Lockhart calls his church Berean Bible Church. Okay, be noble like the Bereans were. Don't take any person's word. It's all right here. Okay. And unfortunately, some people do make mistakes. That's why it's up to us. It's imperative that we search what is taught daily. Not once a week, not just when it's over, go back. Daily, search daily, and this word just comes alive. And you'll understand why we may need to divide certain parts of this out. Because you know what? What he was just saying about that book of Matthew. You know, if you've never heard rightly dividing before, I hope I've at least piqued your curiosity a little bit, where you'll say, you know what? Maybe maybe I do need to study this out a little bit better, this thing about rightly dividing, 2 Timothy 2:15. Okay, we're going to come back in about 15 minutes and come back and take this a few steps further. Okay, I just wanted to show you in the first hour here some problems, some challenges, some issues. If you really do think you can follow the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ to have eternal life. Because what did he say to do to have eternal life? Keep the commandments. Even before I was saved, I never would have told you keep the commandments to be saved. I always believed that Christ died on the cross, that he was buried, and that he rose again. I believe that from as long as I can remember. Probably, knee-high to a grasshopper. 4 years old, 5 years old. I've never doubted that. I've always believed that. You know who else believes that? Satan. You better believe he knows that. Satan have eternal life the way we do? No. He's far from saved. He gets to spend his eternity in hell, right? We get to spend our eternity with the Lord, with the saints. Okay? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yes, divide. Find those 88 pages that are to you. The whole Bible is for you. Okay? Romans 1:1 through Philemon. I'm going to blow it on the back end. Just Romans through Philemon, okay? Those are the 88 pages to you, to each one of us in here today, to each person that's alive on this earth today. Okay, and we'll come back and talk about this a little bit more. Okay, thanks.